The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Breaking news, overnight pro-Palestinian demonstrators at Columbia University established a large protest at a new location on campus.
The situation here at Columbia University has really escalated overnight. We spoke to several witnesses who said a large group, hundreds of students, were gathered in front of Hamilton Hall. And then a few minutes later, a couple dozen of them stormed inside the building itself and then proceeded to barricade themselves inside with desks, chairs, vending machines, whatever they could lay their hands on.
What are these universities doing? Why aren't they doing something? And I'll echo the horror that this does look like January 6th. What a terrible example for our students.
They want to destroy the state of Israel, and they want to kill Jews and push them. See, they are Hamas on college campuses when they chant that.
Some of them may not even know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
All right, red team, blockade. Ready? Circle blockade around these three. We're going to move them out. We got it. Let's go.
One at a time.
You physically assaulting him?
Red team, we got it.
I'm not fighting. You guys are the ones dragging people away.
All right, look,
guys, this is assault. This is
you're
assault.
Shoving me. All right.
So you don't want to
stop shoving you.
This will ruin your whole life.
Oh, sorry. You're okay.
Your whole life.
Okay, just show me you're hurting people. Go easy.
Are you okay?
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative? Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
Kali just came back.
So this is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So this is what you see at these protests.
Yeah, the White House has been watching these protests around the country very closely, really from the outset. And the position that the White House has taken, we've heard it from the National Security Advisor, from the press secretary, other members of the administration as well, is that they encourage and support the idea of demonstrations that are peaceful. They want students in particular to feel as though their voices can be heard, that they can make their positions known in a public space, and that that's good and okay. On the other side, the administration has said that it outright condemns any sort of violent demonstrations that pop up. As Antonia noted, many, if not most, of the demonstrations we've seen around the country on college campuses have been peaceful.
I don't know. It feels kind of insurrection-y to me. But the regime wants you to know that this is mostly peaceful. Yeah, taking over, Hamas taking over Columbia University, Barack Obama's alma mater. This is just totally normal. Carry on. Nothing to see here. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this fine Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening, wherever it happened, whatever time it is, wherever you happen to be watching this program. You can get to the live video stream at trumpetdaily.com or the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Over at Rumble, make sure you give us the thumbs up and leave some comments if you like. You can also email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. So we are back. A nice, a week and a half almost. Unheard of. We had a nice venture into the Great Northwest for the first holy day of the Spring Festival season. And then following that, my wife and I were able to spend 3 or 4 days with the senior class of Armstrong College as we went away for the senior trip in Wyoming, the beautiful state of Wyoming. So we are back feeling refreshed. Our batteries are recharged. We've got lots of clips. I did make note of a few clips through the week while I was gone, so some of the clips might be a few days old, but important nonetheless. So we'll get to those in just a moment. First, though, I should let you know that this Sunday, I can't believe it's just a few days away, this Sunday we're going to be treated to a public address from Dinesh D'Souza, the best-selling conservative author. He's also got a podcast. He's produced many documentaries, including 2000 Mules, where he talked about the election steal. And how about that? You have Tucker Carlson now coming around to tell you about the ballot harvesting that went on. He's maybe 42 months late, but that's okay. That's okay. Better late than never, as the saying goes. Dinesh has certainly exposed the fraud. There's fraud, obviously, on multiple levels. We'll get to some of those clips from Tucker if we have time later in this segment. But regarding Dinesh, you can go to, what is it, armstrongauditorium.org to secure your tickets for Sunday evening's address. That's Sunday evening at 7:30 p.m., and the tickets are only $15. If you want to go to the Trumpet website, you can see a little ad with that, I think that very image, in the top left corner of the Trumpet. If you click on that article right at the bottom, you can also reserve your tickets there. The following day, next Monday, Mr. D'Souza is going to be on this very program, so we've got a lot of activities lined up for him. He'll be watching the Celtic Throne performance on Sunday afternoon. That's this Sunday, May 5th, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Again, Armstrong Auditorium, or in the case of the performance, that's CelticThrone.com as well. So you can see there from the cold open. Sam tells me that we've got a little 30-second promo for Dinesh D'Souza's speaking engagement. We'll cut away to that.
America has changed. The greatest, wealthiest, and most powerful nation in history is divided and weak. Its principles are under attack. Join someone who believes America is worth fighting for. Best-selling author and award-winning filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza will be speaking on the need to fight for America. Sunday, May 5th in Oklahoma City. Tickets on sale now at thetrumpet.com.
thetrumpet.com, as I said, you can see the ad for that in the top left corner of the website. So we hope to see you there. I'll be there in the audience listening to the address. So if you'd like to meet up with us, that's this Sunday night. So going back to the cold open, if Mika and Joe, if they know that this is going to hurt Joe Biden this fall in the presidential election, I mean, this is bad. This is not a good look for the radical left. And you see how the Biden administration is just kind of straddling the fence. Now it's okay to protest, even if it's violent. I mean, you've got to make your voices known. You've got First Amendment rights. Columbia's in New York. Where is the NYPD? They're taking over the building at Columbia where the dean's office is. That would be like our students taking over the hall of administration. And the Biden administration is there to say, you know, we don't like the violence, but, you know, they need to speak. Their voice needs to be heard. Jack Posobiec, he tweeted out over the weekend that this is just a trial run. This is not just about pro-Hamas. This is anti-America. This is anti-Trump. This is coordinated. This is organized. This is funded. Just like it was back in the summer of love. I think the last program I did before I headed off to the Great Northwest was, what was it titled? Prepare for Another Summer of Love. That was 10, 11 days ago. Yeah, the Washington Post, as I recall, I went through that article and here's the Post basically giving us the playbook. This is what's coming. They can't help themselves. It was the same in 2020. They told us how they were going to steal it. Now, we can't take the results on election night. It's going to carry on for another week. And then here, and Tucker's now exposing this, here you've got this survey, just surveying ordinary Americans, saying that, yeah, I filled out a fake ballot. Yeah, I filled out I forged a signature. Yeah, 10 or 11%, I know of someone who sent in a fake ballot. It's just all over the place. Perfect election? Hardly. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says here, student protesters at Columbia University took over and barricaded themselves inside an academic building on campus overnight, raising the stakes in their standoff with the school over pro-Palestinian encampment. It's actually pro-Hamas, as Alan Dershowitz said a couple weeks back. This is not pro-Palestinian. This is pro-Hamas. This is Jew hatred of the highest order. It says here, an autonomous group of students has taken matters into their own hands. They'll remain in Hamilton Hall until the university divests from death, a student group called Columbia University Apartheid Divest said in an Instagram post. So everybody's an activist. Everybody's filled with hate. It says here, that post and other videos taken by students on the scene showed protesters hauling items, including metal tables, to barricade the door of Hamilton Hall, where the dean of Columbia College has an office. That's all. They're just taking over Columbia. They've taken over the dean's office. Do you think, I asked about the NYPD, what about the DOJ? Do you think the DOJ is going to open up the biggest investigation in its history like they did for Jan 6? No, they're silent as well. The NYPD, they're AWOL. Barack Obama, yeah, nothing to say. Yeah, he's silent. Silence is violence. Haven't we heard that before? Where are the leaders? Where are the leaders at Columbia? How do they just surrender to, okay, so they've suspended some of these students that won't move. But is that it? Is that all they're going to do? Here they're just overtaking college campuses in the blue states. The red states have enough sense to not just open the gates to anarchy. But in the blue states, it's a different story. And Joe Bama, of course, for its part, hey, we want them to have a voice. This is from Reuters. It says, the United States found 5 units of Israel's security forces responsible for gross violations of human rights. That's what the U.S. That's what Joe Bama's government is busy doing, investigating the IDF. Investigating Israel, investigating Israel's human rights violations. How about that? President Trump, he releases a statement the other day saying the reason Hamas won't come to the negotiating table is because so many of the hostages they're keeping are dead. They don't keep them alive for very long. After they've repeatedly raped the women, then eventually they just kill them off. And here's the United States. They're investigating Israel. Human rights violations that go back even before October 7. Yeah, we've got to look into the history and see where Israel is at fault, you see. That's right out of Barack Obama's playbook. Barack Obama, I mean, he hates Israel. He hates Jews. Meanwhile, a majority of Americans think Israel should press on with the Rafah operation there in southern Gaza. This article says a Harvard-Harris poll published Monday shows that Americans actually think Israel should carry out a Rafah invasion. 84% of respondents aged 65 support Israel's operation. Even among the youngest respondents, those aged 18 to 24, 57% said Israel should move forward with a Rafah operation. So a large majority of Americans say Israel needs to finish the operation. A tiny, tiny fraction of Americans, mostly Arab Americans, are taking over campuses, and Joe Bama is just turning a blind eye. Joe Bama's DOJ just says, you know what? Hey, we need their votes. We need the pro-Hamas votes in Dearborn, Michigan. We'll get to the presidential polling here in just a second. But first, just step away and look at the bigger picture here. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3 said that we're living in perilous times, dangerous times. It says in that chapter, verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Doesn't all of this just make the talk about God or the Bible seem so hollow and shallow? Where is real religion of substance? Where is any Sermon on the Mount teaching? Where's love? Where's kindness? Where is consideration for your brother? Where is any kind of unselfish outflowing concern? The religion of today, it just has a show of godliness or a form of godliness. But we deny the power thereof, the power of God. We don't really look to God. We don't really submit to God. We just let rage run its course and think that, well, in the end, it'll finally bring about peace. Really? Let rage and anger run its course? That's about what it amounts to. It's everywhere that we look. This morning, the New York Times reports, or this came out of the courtroom in Manhattan, the gag order on Donald Trump, the judge overseeing Donald Trump's hush money trial, fined the former president for repeatedly violating a gag order barring him from attacking witnesses, jurors, and others. In other words, Donald Trump can't say anything. He can't point out how that this judge and the judge's daughter is compromised, how that they're receiving millions from Adam Schiff and company. It's a total political hit job. And Donald Trump is being fined now and threatened with jail time from this lunatic judge in this ridiculous case. This ridiculous case that's being exposed as the fraud that it is. Listen to Jonathan Turley as he talks about the Bragg case in New York, clip 4 and 5.
The interesting thing about today's Supreme Court decision and the Manhattan case is that Alvin Bragg is probably the best lawyer Donald Trump has right now. He's making the case to the Supreme Court that there needs to be an immunity protection because he's the problem. This is exactly what the court was worried about. You've got these Democratic district attorneys clearly politicizing the criminal justice system. The Manhattan case is legally absurd, and it's occurring on the very day that the court is considering how to protect presidents. That cannot but help former President Trump. I have to say, this is collapsing on its own weight. I mean, you just have to stand back and let it fall. I mean, just asking simple questions that the jury would want to know has left serious damage for the prosecution.
And listen, Trump derangement syndrome is real, and it's not going to shock anyone if the 12 jury members vote to convict Trump. But the case is so ludicrous, and it's being exposed as crazy, crazy legal discourse. A total hit job coordinated by the White House. it's going to be, if one or two jury members has enough sense to say, you know what, I can't go along with this, it'll just be one of many spectacular backfires that we've been seeing in these past many months. And yet the lawfare, it continues. You've got the, what is it, the AG in Arizona. Won his seat, or her, I guess it's a woman, by 280 votes. Radical Democrat, barely beating out the Republican. And now, I mean, she's going after anyone who would dare question the validity of the 2020 election, including Christina Bobb. She's an attorney for President Trump. Listen to her as she speaks with Steve Bannon recently, clip 12.
Shortly after that, I went over to be election integrity counsel for Donald Trump. When that transition happened, since that transition has happened, I can tell you I've had the U.S. Marshals show up at my house, the FBI, the Department of Justice has interrogated me, and I've been investigated by bars. I've had several independent investigations as well as been subpoenaed in it. Okay. I want to say four Hang civil on. Cases. See how Hang this is going to play out. I'm working hard to fight against it, and we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going.
The nine felonies are how many years in prison? If you were found guilty,
know.
How many for those nine felonies?
Yeah, several decades.
Is it 50 probably, years in prison?
Something like that. Yeah, I assume it would be the rest of my life in prison, yeah.
For defending Donald Trump. They go after the lawyers even, the attorneys that defend Donald Trump. I mean, you've got to be pretty brave and courageous just to defend the bad orange man. Because look at what they do to you. They want to throw this woman in prison for life. For life. Even as all this evidence just keeps pouring in, evidence of election fraud, as I say, Tucker's getting around to it, 42 months on, but better late than never. Listen to Tucker from last week, clip 8.
It's now apparently a criminal offense, a felony in this country, to suggest the 2020 presidential campaign was not on the level. That crime appears to form the basis of one of Donald Trump's pending indictments. He's an election denier. But actually, it's worth denying the legitimacy of that election because it was not fair. Critical information was withheld from voters through censorship and, yes, by the government. That is a fact. It's also a fact that Mark Zuckerberg spent $400 million to control voting in various places around the country and affect the outcome. That's not legitimate. It was also conducted in many places through electronic voting machines, and no country should ever use electronic voting machines because fundamentally they cannot be trusted. Why would you trust it?
Wow, there's Tucker even going after the machines. There's more. Just wait, there's more. But you've got the government censorship, Zuckerbucks, you know, the money that went into all of those mail-in ballot drop boxes, put up the drop boxes, send out 100 mail-in ballots, and then make sure the drop boxes are in these obscure locations so that the mules can do their work. Listen to him as he continues, clip 9.
But then there's the question of outright cheating, voter fraud. Was there voter fraud? Well, we know there was some, but was it widespread? That is a hard allegation to prove, though, of course, many people believe there was widespread fraud. Well, now it turns out, we know for a fact that there was, and in fact, it can be proven with a poll. Just ask people, did you personally commit voter fraud? Well, that has just been done. And the answer is a huge percentage of people asked in the poll admitted, yes, I committed voter fraud. It's remarkable.
It really is. It really is. Just ask people. And that's what this one survey went and did. Just polled Americans, said, hey, did you cheat? Do you know of anyone who cheated? And then Tucker has the exchange with the guy that orchestrated the poll, clip 10.
If you could just start by giving us the results, the shocking results of this poll, and we'll go from there.
We asked people, did you vote in a state where you're no longer a legal resident? That's a pretty straightforward question. If you're not a permanent resident of a state, you can't vote there. 17% of people, nearly one in five, said yes, they did do that. We asked people, did you fill out a ballot for someone else on their behalf? That's also illegal. You're not allowed to fill out someone else's ballot. 21% of people said yes to that question. We asked if people forged the signature of a friend or family member on their behalf, with or without their permission. We actually put that in the poll question, and 17% of people said yes to that. So, all told, it's at least, and I say at least, 1 in 5 mail-in ballots involved some kind of fraudulent activity.
At least 1 in 5. That would be 20%. 17%, they sent in a ballot for someone else, a family member. They forged signatures. So much fakery. It fits, doesn't it? In a world full of phoniness and fakery and deception, of course they stole it. We've been saying that from day one. When was the election in 2020? November 8, I think? Maybe it was earlier. We've been saying it since the presidential election. And it was so obvious. The trucks coming in at 3 a.m., shutting down all of the counting. Just in the swing states. Just in the 5 states that they needed to cheat to win. Well, at least, like I say, at least they're coming around, some of these commentators. They should have been courageously defending Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis back in November and December of 2020, but they didn't. They just caved in to the pressure from the radical left, and then the same thing happened after January 6th, just cave in to morning meltdown. If they tell you it was an insurrection, if they tell you it was an attempted government overthrow headed up by Donald Trump, then you're just to believe it. You are just to go along. Richard Palmer, he sent out a morning brief a week ago. It said here, this is from last Monday or Tuesday, so a week ago. Court documents unsealed on Monday show that the Biden White House colluded with the National Archives and Records Administration over Donald Trump's classified documents. How about that? It's just like Trump has been saying out on the campaign trail. This is all coordinated by the White House, by Joe Obama. And of course, ultimately, that would be the dear leader. But think about that. They had the White House press correspondence dinner, whatever it was, Saturday night. All the radical leftists, the regime media, they get together, they yuck it up. And the host, some comedian on Saturday Night Live, he gets to the end and he says, you know what, my mom or my dad, I forget, they voted for you, Joe Biden, because you're a decent man. He's decent. And Trump is Hitler. That's where we are. Can you believe that for almost a year and a half, the Republicans have controlled the House? There have been no articles of impeachment filed against Joe Biden. He's just skated away free, scot-free, from all of the pay-to-play schemes, from raking in millions from abroad. And the regime, even the Hollywood regime, even the funny men on television at night, they all tell you that he's decent. Hunter, he's decent. Cover up the laptop. Let's censor that, the story about the laptop, so that Biden can win, so that there can be rampant cheating. But then here we are. The country just goes up in flames, and there's the regime saying, look, thank you, Joe Biden. You're decent. Really? It says here the prosecution tried to keep the documents heavily redacted. Think about that. Here's one judge with enough sense to say, no, we got to be transparent here. Let's see how connected the White House is to NARA and to the DOJ, and how it's Joe Obama. And by Joe Obama, that would be the dear leader. He's pushing all the buttons. We're nearing the end of Barack Hussein Obama's third term. And you've got a member of Congress now saying, we can't survive a fourth term. I'll get to that in just a second. Says here, they show that NARA and the Biden White House scheduled phone calls and coordinated the timing of the public release of information. It says, we're getting more evidence that the classified documents case was just another attempt to get Trump. Yes, indeed. It's all about get Trump. Same with the Alvin Bragg case. He knew there was nothing there before he ever got into it. He said as much. The DOJ has said it. But now, because Donald Trump is leading in the polls, and we'll get to that in a second too, we've got to get Trump. All of it coordinated by the White House. All of it coordinated by the dear leader. This is from Breitbart. I mentioned that representative in Congress. It says here, Representative Keith Self warns U.S. constitutional republic can't survive a fourth Obama term. Where have you heard this before? Well, I'll refer you to America Under Attack. That's right. If you don't have this book, we offer our literature without cost, without obligation. You can call the 800 number there at the lower third of your screen. You can go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and order a hard copy, or you can download the PDF today if you want to start reading. It's powerful. It gives you God's perspective on where we are in the United States right now. America Under Attack. This article says U.S. global influence is declining under President Joe Biden, whose presidency is a continuation of former President Barack Obama's policies, according to Republican Congressman Keith Self, who warned that America could not survive a fourth Obama term. He also blasted Biden's weakening alliance with the Jewish state and the rise of anti-Israel protests on college campuses, which he attributed to socialist ideology fueled by woke academia, while advising that children be prepped with conservative values before entering higher education institutions. Well, anymore, I mean, children with enough sense and parents who are trying to train them up in the way that they should go, as Proverbs 22 says, they're opting not even to go to college. Why would you want to go to these propaganda mills? I mean, they're just churning out students that are taking over the dean's office. It says here, it started with the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. We had a lot to say about that 3 years ago. Soon after that, people started telling us that Putin started moving troops into Ukraine within 2 months of the withdrawal. And frankly, that's lightning speed when you talk about a nation making a decision to start moving troops toward combat. All this happened in the first year of the fake presidency. He then asserted that Biden's term mirrors Obama's, while warning of the risks such policies pose to the country. And then it quotes this congressman. Again, this is a guy in the House of Representatives. This is the third Obama administration. Let's just admit it. Every one of the Obama policies is being exacerbated, encouraged, and executed by the Biden administration. So I don't believe that our constitutional republic can survive a fourth Obama term. That's right. And now Joe Obama is there fueling the riots. That's right. That's right. Maybe not directly, but there are left-wing agitators out there saying, yes, we need to take over the college campuses. We need this as a trial run to start burning the cities like we did in 2020 in the lead up to that presidential. Hey, we'll do anything to make sure that Donald Trump never, never returns to office. Barack Obama, he can't have the bad orange man ruining his fundamental transformation of the United States of America. You see it, don't you? Antiochus squaring off with Jeroboam, to use the biblical language, or Obama versus Trump. And despite all of this, Trump just keeps crushing it. Imagine how uneasy they were in the CNN control room and the CNN studios when they reported on this poll from over the weekend, clip 11.
Our new poll, which was conducted by SSRS, finds Trump is leading Biden, who has ample work to do with his base and with independent voters who are breaking to his GOP rival. In a head-to-head race, 49% of voters say they'd pick Trump for president, compared to 43% for Biden. That's a 9-point Trump advantage with independent voters. And add in third-party candidates, and Trump's lead jumps even more. He has 42% to Biden's 33%, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gets 16% of the vote. Our poll also underscores the challenges of incumbency and that voters, 4 years later, have a better view of Trump's presidency compared to Biden's. 55% say Trump's time in office was a success, with only 39% saying the same about Biden's presidency.
You see why the cities need to burn? They're going to pull out all the stops. Prepare, like I said, on the last program we did before I hit the road, prepare for another summer of love. the Lawfare, at least according to Jonathan Turley. I mean, that's backfire. I mean, you look at the people out there on the streets of New York greeting Donald Trump as he leaves Trump Tower, greeting him at the courthouse. I saw a clip this morning of these protesters in support of Trump out there, and they went and talked to some of them, immigrants from China. And these women are saying, look, we fled a communist country. We don't want to see the United States turn communist. I mean, that's he was right. The communist infiltration of the United States was prophesied. And Herbert Armstrong was talking about it decades ago, not 2 or 3 years ago. Mr. Armstrong's been dead for 30 some years. But he was speaking of this infiltration, this communist takeover since the 1940s and 50s. And you can read all about it, and he was right. And you can call our operators and receive a free copy of that as well. America's under attack. They're going to pull out all the stops because, well, Donald Trump is so dangerous. So they say, listen to this lunatic Capitol Hill police officer, former police. They brought him on, actually, on MSNBC yesterday to opine about the Supreme Court's ruling on the immunity case, as if this guy is some kind of legal expert. But he gets the backing from the Marxist left. He gets his big book deal. He writes about how it was an insurrection, an attempted coup. And listen to him as he waxes eloquent about Donald Trump. This is Trump derangement syndrome. It is real. Clip six.
Donald Trump is sick. He's a sick individual. And the idea that he would align himself with criminals who attacked and assaulted law enforcement officers who were only there doing their job is sick. And anybody that would support that is equally demented.
There you go. These people are sick. All of them. Anybody that would support that is equally demented. So you go back to the CNN poll, and Trump's leading by 6 points overall across the nation among independents. He's leading by 9 points now. And this guy, Fanon or whatever his name is, this guy says that they're demented. We're beyond sane. This is 2 Timothy 3:1, as I said at the start. In the last days, perilous times would come. How do you solve this? I mean, we know from America Under Attack and from 2 Kings 14 and Amos 7, we know Jeroboam is going to make a return. He's going to return to office. We've been saying it since 2020. But if you leave that aside for a moment, how do you solve this kind of division? Jesus said a house divided cannot stand. It just cannot. We were able to get on for 2+ centuries saying our diversity, our division even, the First Amendment rights that pits one group against the other, we can both speak freely, okay. But in the grand scheme of things, 6,000 years into civilization, I mean, the American experiment, really, really and truly, it hasn't lasted that long. It's about to explode in violence. Look at what the one side's willing to do to maintain its grip on power, as my father has written. They'll do anything. They'll do anything. Listen to Nicole Wallace as she talks about, hey, she's commenting on the correspondence dinner, and she says, hey, if Trump comes back, you know, he's going to take me off the air. Well, that would probably be good for the country, frankly. Listen to clip 13.
Because at this exact time next year, depending on what happens in November, 7 months from now, we can't say for certain that there would even be a White House correspondence dinner or even a free press or even a White House press corps, right? The stakes of the 2024 election were a living, breathing subplot of this year's White House correspondence dinner. It came up in the jokes, came up in the inherent contrast between President Joe Biden there in the room and the coup plotting, openly autocratic modeling of himself, Donald Trump, who wants to replace him. 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here.
Let's hope. Let's hope she's not sitting there next year. I mean, hardly any people watch her anyway. But there they are, the lunatic left, going on and on about how Donald Trump is the problem. He's been out of office for 3.5 years. Almost 3.5 years. Listen to Nancy Pelosi. You know, the MSNBC lady, she just pushes back ever so slightly. Well, I mean, the jobs numbers that you keep referring to, and you say with Trump it was horrible, with Biden it's never been better, but there was a pandemic there in the last year of Trump's presidency. Look at Nancy Pelosi nearly has a stroke when this MSNBC reporter just pushes back, just nudges a little bit. This is clip 7.
And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role.
She's an apologist for Donald Trump. Yeah, they're apologists for Donald Trump at MSNBC. Their heads are exploding. The CNN survey or polling, Nancy Pelosi, she can't sit in front of anyone except for a sycophant, except for, you know, a stormtrooper, a droid. You've got to go with the party line or else. That's it. They can't handle it. This is from Axios. It says, America warms to mass deportations. Here we're sending all this money to Ukraine. I covered that just before we left. $61 billion more. $61 billion. Nothing for the border. Nothing to secure the southern border. And Republicans control the House. I noticed Elise Stefanik at least came out this morning. I guess they're filing some kind of complaint at the DOJ over the lawfare and what this judge is doing in Manhattan and how the judge's daughter is compromised. But that's not going to go anywhere in Obama's DOJ. You know this. But like I said, they can't even muster up enough strength or courage to impeach. To impeach a criminal, to impeach a crime family. Axios says here, half of Americans, including 42% of Democrats, say they'd support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants, according to a new Axios Vibe survey. 42% of Democrats even. You know, the funny man hosting the correspondence dinner, he talked about, you know, he joked about Biden losing the black vote. Well, that's no joking matter anymore. He's losing blacks. He's losing Latinos. He's losing Democrats. As they see their country go up in flames. 30% of Democrats, as well as 46% of Republicans, now say they'd end birthright citizenship, something guaranteed under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. Why it matters, says Axios. Americans are open to former President Trump's harshest immigration plans, spurred on by a record surge of illegal border crossings and a relentless messaging war waged by Republicans. So at least the message is getting out. The funding's not going anywhere near the southern border, but the message is getting out. Furthermore, people are seeing it. People who live in Denver, they're seeing even the healthcare industry just overrun by illegals. Denver, Chicago, New York, Houston, on and on it goes. It's nonstop. It's relentless, this invasion, this attack. Mostly young, single, military-aged men from all over the world. And we're sending tens of billions. Mike Johnson wants to send all the money abroad, whether it's to Ukraine or Taiwan or Israel or wherever, but not the United States of America, not to the southern border. It's all part of the attack. It's all part of the transformation, isn't it? These are future Democrat voters. We need them. If we can't send out 100 million mail-in ballots every year, well, we've got to get some other form of voting. Because Americans, on the whole, I mean, an overwhelming majority support Donald Trump. You had the other poll where it was up into the 70s or the 80%, forget which issue, again, in favor of a Trump agenda. And then here. And this is reported by Axios. Yeah, mass deportations. I think that sounds pretty good. You talk about, again, devastating polling numbers. I gave you that CNN report, 49% to 43%. And then listen to this talking head on the morning meltdown talking about the youth. I mean, leave aside the pro-Hamas people that are taking over university campuses. The youth in general that are looking at the country, that are looking at the average cost for homes nowadays, or interest rates, or the skyrocketing inflation, or the cost for gas at the gas station. This, again, a moment of truth at the morning meltdown from last week, clip one.
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just off. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling.
Young people are enraged. The pro-Hamas young people are not the only ones who are angry and upset. And they're resorting to violence in order to take over Columbia. I forget if it was Columbia or some other university that canceled its commencement exercises. I think it's Columbia. Anyway, some commentator pointed out how that these four-year college graduates, they don't have a commencement, a graduation ceremony this year at Columbia. And then 4 years ago, these same young people would have been high school graduates. And of course, they would have missed their high school graduation as well because, well, COVID. I mean, this is a communist attack on America and people are hurting because of it. They can't even go to their graduation. No wonder Donald Trump is peeling away votes from blacks, from Latinos, from young people even. You've got people showing up in Manhattan in support of Donald Trump that never would have shown that kind of support, certainly not outwardly, just a few years ago. But now they're putting up their trucks and their cars with flags and decals and everything else in support of Trump, proudly driving through deep, dark blue districts. What does that tell you? That tells you that he's coming back, just as we've been saying, just as it says in America Under Attack. You heard it here first. Tomorrow's news today. It says here from Axios, I was surprised at the public support for the large-scale deportations, said this guy at Harris. I think they're just sending a message to politicians. Get this under control. Americans don't like it. They don't like the mass invasion at the southern border. Young people don't like the economy. They don't see a future. Not like their parents did. I mean, for the first time, we're seeing the oncoming generation that really, I mean, they're not going to have it any better than their parents. Hasn't always been that way for Americans. Are you ready for a wake-up call? God's trying to get our attention. Listen again to this professor on the morning meltdown, clip two.
Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants, so the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own the housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from $290 to $420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And I we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them. And then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted. And we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
Wow. The people around this table, that would be the Morning Meltdown crew. They stay wealthy while the children, the young people, have no hope, have no future, are undoubtedly going to be renting for the rest of their life. The average value for a home in just 4 years, that would be during the Jobama years, from $290,000 to $420,000 in 4 years? You think those four-year graduates at Columbia are feeling pretty good about their future financially? Economically, not that that's everything in life, but what are they thinking? And what are the millionaires around the Morning Meltdown table, what are they thinking? Well, they're thinking, do anything possible to get Joe Biden in for another 4 years. That's right. Maybe in 4 years, if Joe Obama were to stay in charge, the average cost for a home would be $700,000. Who cares? Joe Scarborough can afford it. Really sad. Running it up on the young people's credit card, whether it's Joe Scarborough or Mike Johnson, they're all the same. Uniparty. They're in control. Just keep printing trillions and trillions and trillions. And the millionaires, even their children might be okay, because maybe the millionaire parents will help get them a starter home or whatever. But what about everyday, average, ordinary Americans? CNN comes out with the poll, a 9% lead among independents. Independents. And that Capitol Hill police officer that's now a star on all the regime networks, he says they're demented for showing any kind of support for Donald Trump. Well, he's probably, thanks to left-wing funding, he's probably now pushing into the millions of profits himself. What a scam. It really is sad to see this kind of lawlessness, to see this kind of selfishness, this kind of greed, this kind of dishonesty. Well, but, I mean, there was a pandemic. And you're coming back from the pandemic. The Biden numbers are. No wonder you've added a lot of jobs. Hey, says Pelosi. I mean, if you want to be a mouthpiece for Trump, okay, then maybe that's what you are. Really? It really is sad to see a total breakdown in law and order, to see so much corruption and filth. We're just coming out of our days of unleavened bread, where God just continues to show us and teach us and help us see just how much we need to clean up our lives. How that we need to put away sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law, and God's law is holy and perfect and just and good, as Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 12. Commandment keeping, that really and truly is the solution to all the problems of this world. And thank God that at the return of Jesus Christ, the family of God will be administering the government of God and actually enforcing commandment keeping worldwide. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. It's so good to be back, and we're glad that you're back with us today as well. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.